Blog Talk Radio. Good morning. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen, and Neil, good morning to you.
Good morning.
It's Wednesday morning. Welcome to our show, everyone. And today we are continuing our discussion on animal communication. And we've got some callers in the queue. Welcome to the show, callers. 928, could you press 1 if you'd like to speak with us, first of all? Second, we do get to callers at about 15 minutes after the show begins, so we are going to be getting to the callers that we have in the queue presently, but it will take a while because we do discuss our topic prior to taking calls and doing readings. You may follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio. We would love it if you did so, and if you would join us on Facebook or Twitter, you can actually follow Neil and I on Facebook. You don't actually have to send a friend request if you don't want to get that close. So several people have followed us there. Please follow us or send us a friend request or do like the page Neil Baker Psychic. And Neil's direct number 562-596-7818. If you'd like a longer conversation than the radio show can accommodate. But Neil, we were talking about animal communication on Monday. And, you know, I'd like to know what it's like to hear the vibration of an animal communicating to you.
Well, it's
I mean, is it a sound that you're hearing that is not perceptible to, you know, the normal human ear? Or is it a feeling, a vibrational feeling? How does it exactly work? Images?
It's a first a vibrational feeling. It's a vibration. It's an energy that you start to feel, and the energy of the animal that you're connecting to, they put out an energy, and you are perceiving its signals. Now, until you send back a signal, some animals aren't aware of your presence. I mean, not every animal is aware of your presence, and if you've noticed on just a physical level, you can look at an animal and it can be totally oblivious to you, not notice you, or maybe look at you, but there doesn't seem to be any real level of communication other than the fact that you're standing in a place and they're looking at your at the distance flight or just observing your behavior. But as we go up to the animal kingdom, of course, animals will begin to recognize us. Even crows will be able to distinguish certain people and their features if they have territory in the area, and the human being that they're familiar with, as they've been a friend or a foe to them. There's studies done on as simple a creature as a crow.
Well, I don't know how simple crows are.
They're not simple. But they're not simple. But what I mean to say is they're not like they're very intelligent animals. They're not like a chimpanzee or a dog. They're not like something we just normally have as pets or we see in the wild that is of higher intelligence.
Right, but I think they say that crows are even more intelligent than dogs. Am I wrong about that?
Well, crows have an ability to problem solve. I mean, dogs do too, but crows can problem solve. A crow can see like a grape in a box. And there can be a stick nearby, and they can use the stick to get to the grape. So they can problem solve.
And they're
good memory.
And they're more independent than most dogs, obviously. So dogs a lot of times don't have to learn how to problem solve because they have problem solving for them.
And they live in
so they're a little more dependent.
They live in flocks. They live in groups, and they're very protective of one another, and they have a strong communication and a pecking order. But they're very crows are very. They'll rob other nests and they attack other birds, the nests. But with their own, they're very, very good parents.
You know, I have a funny story, and this is on topic, but I remember when we were outdoors one day a year or two ago, and we saw, I believe it was woodpeckers, pecking a plastic, like by an electrical wire, pecking plastic. And I was concerned. We were both concerned about the well-being of the birds. And I said, stop doing that. You know, I was talking to the birds and they were looking at me, talking back, but not understanding what I said. And I said, tell them to stop pecking that plastic because they could get electrocuted. And you did something not with your voice. It was telepathic. And the birds stopped pecking. I mean, and they just were staring at us after you talked to them, and they actually did stop pecking the plastic near the wire.
Yeah.
And I asked what you did. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I love talking with animals. I love talking with animals, and it doesn't matter. I've learned. I made it a goal of mine to talk to all animals and to learn the vibration of all animals. So every animal puts out a vibration. And when you understand the vibration, then you can mimic in a way you can understand the vibration, then mimic the vibration and just convert it into a language and send them back the vibration. And I've got birds, dogs, cats, wild animals. I had a bear once charge me in Yosemite, charging me right at it. And I stood my ground and said, hey, you don't want to try. I talked to the bear through vibration. The bear just stopped, looked at me, smelt me, looked at me, kind of did a noise like okay, and just walked away. If you learn how to speak the vibration, I guess the vibration is something that you feel and you give back, but you have to understand that on some level, we tend to think that we have to talk to animals through our voice. And that can work. There's a certain attitude about that once you get to know the animal. But to actually speak to the animal on their level through vibration is a whole different zone of energy than just talking to an animal, where some people are very gifted and they talk to an animal. They just have a way with their voice, with their sound, sometimes mimicking the actual vocal sound that they make, or the animal gets to know them, and through association of the word, they apply it to an item or a task. That's all good. That's a linear kind of way of communicating with animals, and that has its own merits. But when we get into the energy of a vibration, I mean, how do you talk to a spider? How do you talk to some of these animals or a fish? You can't. I mean, I know people who have pet fish and they speak to them and they come up to the bowl, but they're basically can see through the glass and they're associating it with food. But how do you actually talk to a creature through vibration? Well, the first thing is you've got to really, really embrace your sixth chakra, because without that, you're not going to be able to emit anything other than just an energy field that the animal will know you're present. But you have to understand that the thought content of the sixth chakra, now the sixth chakra does not speak. It's all nonverbal. So with our third eye, we don't need to speak at all. The third eye is an energy that's composed of thought. So if you think something to the animal that you're interested in, and now without speaking, I don't speak. I don't speak. It's all done through nonverbal energy. So I don't, if I want to talk to an animal, I'll talk to an animal, knowing that that's the level I'm working on. But if I really want to communicate with an animal and have a conversation with them, I'll do it through vibration. And so the vibration, I have to know a little bit about the animal, what I'm working with. If I'm working with a dog, a cat, a bird, or even down to a spider. I've got to understand what the energy level is. So I've already spent time studying animals and studying their traits and all that kind of thing. So I understand what's going to be their levels of communication. I'm not going to talk to a spider.
So you're aware,
a dog bone.
You're aware, I mean, of course, and then it gets more deep in terms of their individual behavior for each species. But yeah. you have to understand on a linear level the behavior of the animals that you're dealing with through whatever, you know, applied study of books or interacting with the animals
and
learning
what
behavior.
Their habits are. So you have to identify that. And then you think in your brain, you start to formulate a narration in your brain about the very element that they're interested in, and you send the thought out into an energy. The energy goes to the creature. They receive the energy, they take it in, and then through their mechanisms they translate it, and they're recognizing that the energy is coming from your location.
Right.
And so it becomes I had a really problem with a gorilla named what was the gorilla's name? It was with
Coco.
Henderson. Coco. They had a compound up in San Francisco, and I visited the gorilla, spoke to the gorilla non-verbally, and lo and behold, the gorilla, Coco, wanted to mate with me. And the woman, Florence, was her first Florence, I forget her last name, but she actually was alarmed that Coco was showing mating behavior and maybe would end up hurting herself. And she dragged me into her office and asked me what were you doing? And I explained that I was a psychic and I was speaking non-verbally to the gorilla. And she just was aghast. She couldn't quite.
She wasn't too comfortable with
it. She wasn't comfortable with it and she couldn't figure it out, but it was still astounded her. And she just said, I don't understand. Something's going on. I was watching the whole interaction, and something was really, Coco was really conveying something. Now, Coco is a sign language gorilla who later was attached to a cat that it became the main her pet, her own little pet. And so when you're getting into the element of talking to animals, yes. And I guess what I do is I send out a vibration, but the advantage that I've got is that I can perceive the vibration that I thereby accept and then give back. So I actually, it's like a tasting of energy. Ants do it. They secrete something from their mouth and they share amongst all the ants of the nest, where they're sharing the scent, they're sharing the food source, and that identifies them in terms of the colony. Well, what I do is I share the energy. So you have to think of how you share energy, and I think one of the clues to animal communication is nonverbal language. Nonverbal language converted into a source of thought energy.
Well, I mean, as you know, I enjoy communicating with animals using my fifth chakra. And I think that there is a great connection. I mean, I know that there's a great connection with animals, but I have practiced sending telepathic thoughts to animals, but it's a matter of hearing things back in that regard. I mean, I do think they can hear what I'm communicating, but for me to actually perceive what they're saying is a different step. And what do you recommend for those of us that are trying to hear and maybe have gone a step further in trying to send our thoughts out and are somewhat effective in that regard?
Well, practice on people, because you know, if you practice on people, you can get immediate interaction. Practice on the thought process. Try to feel a thought and give it to a person that you're communicating with and see if they can pick up on what you're sending them. See if they can see in their mind's eye an image of what you're trying to convey. That's one thing. It's very difficult to do. It's almost mind reading. But, you know, our third eye has the capacity to send out and receive the signals. So, I mean, one of my first experiences as a child it just in terms of thought process was I was looking at magazines once as a little boy at a newsstand. It was actually at the farmer's market here in Los Angeles. And a woman, I was only about five.
This is weird. I was thinking about this.
Yeah.
The other day. Well, I know the story. Go ahead.
Yeah. And a woman said, oh, you're looking, are you enjoying that comic book? And I looked up and there was nobody saying anything. And there was a woman beside me looking at a magazine, and she was sort of a pretty woman. She had long blonde hair. I remember she was wearing a long white coat.
She looked very fashionable. Did she say hello, Neil?
Yeah, she actually,
yeah, this is the story.
I looked back at the comic book. I didn't realize that, you know, I guess I heard something, but I didn't know where it was. And it said, yeah, you reading the comic book. Hi, Neil. And I turned up, and there the woman was, and now, from her profile, she was looking straight at me and smiling and winking and said, yes, you're one of us. We are mind readers. We know how to communicate. And I saw that in you right away. I mean, I was astonished because at 5 years old, that had never happened. But by innate, just an innate kind of ability, I spoke back to her in thought form, and we had a conversation, and then she left. I'll never forget it. In that regard, that's kind of special, and not everyone's going to have that ability to be able to perceive thoughts and have a conversation.
Right.
But you can start to practice it. Practice it with your dogs. Practice it with your pets. I'm sure some of you might have already done that, but it's a fascinating topic. You've got to study the third eye. You've got to study the content of the sixth chakra to really get a grasp of how you send out a signal and how you receive a signal. But that's where it all is. And from there, you can begin to understand how to speak to animals in the whole animal kingdom. It doesn't matter what the animal is.
Okay. Well, Neil, we'll stop there and take some calls. And everybody in the queue will be getting a reading. And I'm going to start with 562. Who's this? Hi.
Hi, this is Rondrea.
I'm sorry, what's your name?
Rondrea, R-O-N-D-R-I-A.
R-O-N-D-R, Rondrea.
Yes.
And Rondrea, what is your birth date?
August 14th, 1984.
Okay.
35-8.
Okay. Okay, and Rondrea, you're calling from, I know where you're calling from, actually. You're calling from our location, 562. You must
yes.
be in Long Beach.
Yes.
What's your question?
Do I need a question or do I just?
Well, you can, if you'd like a general reading, that's fine.
Oh, okay. I just want to see about me and my boyfriend, me and John. What do you see?
Okay, what's his birthday?
January 26, 1967.
67, you said?
Yeah.
19, 13.
32, 5? Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what's interesting about your energy and his energy, Rondrea, is that your master number is 8. Now,
okay.
8 is what his day adds up to, 2 and 6. And his master number is 5. And what 5 adds up to, that's your day. That adds up to 1-4. So your day adds up to his master number, and his day adds up to your master number, which means that you have a past life connection with this man. Now 8 and 5, those are your master numbers. That adds up to 13. And your first three numbers add up to 13, as do your whole year, 1984. And his year, 67, adds up to 13. So this is a very intense past life connection. Now, the problem, though, so there's a past life connection. And don't forget, Rondrea, you had a change at the age of 30, at the age of 31, which was about 4 years ago. So about 4 years ago,
She's an eight.
You're 31 now.
She's 31 you had now.
No, you're 31. Oh, never mind. You're 31 now. You haven't had your change yet.
35 will be her change, right?
35 will be your change. So no, just forget about the part about the change. So you're 31 now. You won't have a change for about 4 years. Well, you know, I don't know. Rondrea, did you know him when you were 29? Have you known him for 2 years?
No, I only knew it'll be on the 28th of this month. It'll be 1 year for us.
1 year. So when you were in a relationship, Rondrea, when you were 29, were you with somebody then?
Yeah, a Hispanic guy.
What she said?
I didn't get that.
No, I said a Hispanic guy. Yeah, I was with him.
A Hispanic guy.
Oh, you were with an Hispanic guy then?
Yeah.
Because I'm going back to there, because that relationship, after him, is that when you met John?
What did you say?
Did you meet your current boyfriend after this Hispanic guy relationship?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so there's a changeover from those two relationships that I'm picking up on. So between 29 and 30, you had this transitional change. And there might have been, I don't know, Rondrea, with the other boyfriend, there might have been some mild drug use. There might have been something to do with drugs. I'm not sure about it.
Yeah, there was. He was using, for what I know, I don't know about anything else, but I know for sure marijuana.
Yeah. So from there, we move over to John. I think with John, you have a pretty good situation going on. It's still a past life situation. So that means that you may not transcend through life with this man, but the energy between the two of you is very strong. And that could potentially lead to something more significant. I have a feeling that John's either went through or is about to go through a job change. Has there been any job changes in his life recently or about to come up that you know of?
Yeah, he just changed jobs 2 weeks ago, actually.
Yeah. So I'm picking up a job change that you're validating. And I don't know. This is a past life relationship. You've known this man before. It was pretty intense even then. It wasn't finished. And so you've come back to kind of finish up certain amounts of karma. But once that's finished, then you have to ask yourself, both of you have to ask yourself the deep question. And you may not say it literally, but you have to ask yourself, well, now that we've come through this part of our relationship and we have some resolved some things, we want to continue to go through life together. Well, what I'm telling you is that there's a possibility that you guys could continue to go through life together. So there's that possibility.
Good.
How was that?
I said that's good.
That's good, but it's going to take two. Who's into dancing? Who does dancing?
Not me or him.
No. Did you ever dance? I mean, I don't know. I'm picking up the tango, and I don't know why I'm picking it up yet. Has anybody ever been to Argentina?
No.
I don't know. I don't know what that is.
Anybody in your family or friends that are dancers? It doesn't have to necessarily be you or John, Andrea.
Oh, no, not that I know of, no.
Okay. That's interesting.
I don't know. I'm getting something to do with, you know, it came in, so I don't know what that. Does anybody live in L.A., Los Angeles, or so? Or both of you?
Yeah, he does. He does. I'm in Long Beach. He lives in L.A.
Okay, that's why. Don't worry.
I got it.
I understand now why I said dancing and tango. It has to do with Los Angeles. So there's something to do with Los Angeles and him that it might be a little bit problematic. But I will say one thing for the sake of, because these are short readings on the radio. We don't really give long readings. because we have a lot of colors. But I'll say that this is an intense relationship. It's karmic. It's past life. There's hope for the future between the two of you. Your concerns would be another woman potentially coming up later in his life. That might be a little bit challenging, but that doesn't mean that it's a, you know, a game breaker, nothing like that. It just means that that might be part of the karma that might be involved in what he has to go through if he's going to stay with you. That might be a little bit of competition there. Has there been any in the year? Has there been any thoughts of him cheating or anything?
I don't know, but there has been a woman named Danielle that he supposedly has sex with.
Oh. Yeah. So that's what I'm picking. That's what I'm picking up on. And I don't know, Andrea. I mean, I think I'm getting the vibe and the picture of this whole thing. And I can't ascertain at this moment whether it's going to be successful or not relationship. But I will say this, it's meaningful and it's here for a reason. And your energy with them is from a karmic standpoint. And you have to work something out. Okay.
We just had a baby girl together too, so I thought I'll throw that in there 7 weeks ago.
Oh wow.
Well, there's the karma. So you having a baby girl together is intense. So what I'm saying is this is a deep connection. Out of the corner of my eye, I just saw a astral animal. It's a bat, B-A-T. But that can be a good thing. That doesn't mean anything. I did see a bat figure. Sometimes in the astral realm, my third eye will perceive creatures, and I just saw a bat fly by. But don't worry. That doesn't mean bats are people think, oh, a bat, that must be bad. No, not at all. Bats actually are interesting creatures, and there isn't an animal in the animal kingdom that I think is bad. So it's not a bad sign, but it is intriguing that I saw it just then, and I saw it right before you mentioned having a child with him.
Hmm. Well, to be continued.
Yeah. Sandra. Thank you so much for the reading.
You're very welcome. And if you would like to speak to me further, 562-596-7818. All right. 928 is our next. Good morning.
Hello. Oh, good morning.
Hi, who's this?
Mary. Hello.
Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Where are you home from, Mary?
North Carolina. My number is an old number from Arizona.
Okay. And your birth date, Mary?
May 8th, 1974.
All right.
May 8th.
Yeah. She's a 34-7. Is that right? And she's 41?
No.
41 years old?
Yep.
So she's about to hit a 7 times 6.
How old is she?
41, 1974. So she's coming up on her, what is it, 6th cycle of 7 in 4 months.
Yeah.
Mary, what's your question?
Hi. Well, I can tie it all into a whole bunch of stuff. Let's see. There was a guy that I used to work with who kid said that she was psychic and that I'm supposed to meet my future husband to be in the UK somewhere. And I'm like, okay. But my health issues have been really bad and not turning around at all. And I don't see really any future for me unless I can turn this around. Tying into your animal things, I was wondering about parasites, if that could be part of it. Also, we have fire ants here in North Carolina. They're awful. If you can teach me how to get them out of my yard, that would be helpful.
Oh, wow. You've got a lot to address.
And you mentioned Argentine tango. I've taken an Argentine tango lesson, and I used to belly dance. So I don't know if you're picking up anything.
That could be it, Mary.
Yeah.
Parasites, yeah. Well, what's the nature of your illness, your health issues?
Well, I wonder how it could be related to stress could be parasites or Epstein-Barr virus. You know, I've been looking at the Anthony William Medical Medium book lately, and a lot of that's ringing true with me. I have awful reflux. It just feels weird on the whole right side of my body, and I get some weird skin things. I'm tired all the time. So I was looking into this, you know, cleansing kind of thing and getting your body to work on itself. But I was wondering about parasites, too. I'm scared to try anything. I'm scared to talk to doctors because they, you know, charge me money and give me things that make me feel worse. So I'm kind of trying to feel it out on my own. But to commit to one of those cleanse things, I keep falling off the wagon. You know, give me 12 hours, I can stick to it. But
you know what? Some of the cleanses are not that difficult, actually. You should look up Humaworm, H-U-M-A-W-O-R-M. On a practical level, that's some information for you. But, Neil, are you picking up any parasite issues? I mean, a lot of people have parasites. They're very common. More common than people think.
We have so many parasites on our body and creatures on our body that it would drive you nuts. And what they look like in a microscope, an electron microscope, they're the most hideous things, like from outer space. So, I mean, we have them in our intestines. We've got them everywhere. I mean, every orifice you could think of, they're crawling around us. But let's get away from the... The parasites can be a problem if you have indigestion and you're having a really hard time there, or you have Crohn's disease, something like that. It can be really problematic, and then it has to be addressed. But I'm getting, are you or anybody in your family anemic?
We have been. My mom has been. I've been. My main issue is that I have trouble breathing, and to breathe I have to like contort my body in a certain way, and then I can get a full breath. So I wonder if it's something like with nerves and vagus.
We're psychics. We cannot give out medical advice. That's for doctors. What we can give out is psychic opinions. We're okay with psychic opinions as long as you understand that what we give out are psychic opinions, not medical advice. That would not be good for us to do something like that. But, you know, I mean, you have to address this on levels of stress. Was there a...
You're topping up. I didn't hear you.
All right, was there a divorce in your family?
No, but there have always been tensions.
So nothing with your parents, or sisters, brothers?
Does your father create tension in the family?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Because I'm, you know, the divorce to me is morphing. When I said divorce, I felt, sometimes when I say divorce, it's an estrangement. It's a problem in the family. Disassociation and things like this. So the father can create tension. So a lot of these things may be behavioral energies that your body manifested as physical ailments. And that could be part of it. Do you have any kind of flaky skin stuff going on? Do you have problems with scaly skin?
Yeah, I've had weird like lumps and bumps and like nodule type things. And I did have a very boyfriend relationship that I think a lot got started with him, the tensions around him. But scaly, yeah, my scalp and my, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, I'm getting these psychic impressions, Mary, that you're validating, and I'm perceiving them as a lot of stress-oriented energies that may even be karmic to some extent. I mean, yeah, at 34 years old, you had a change, but that could have been a sudden move, or there might have been something in a job move or a location move. Do you recall anything at the age of 34?
It was that boyfriend.
Yeah. Well, then we're on the boyfriend thing too. So there had to be an energy factor. Any injuries in your leg or limbs from any falls, any broken bones, any crutches?
No, I have a bruise on my shin from way many months back. My right hip is always bothering me, and I feel kind of, you know, like something's out of alignment on my right side.
Okay. And the bruise on your shin is from falling or what?
There was a heavy metal object on the floor that was immovable, and I walked into it.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I'm perceiving. So, you know, that your situation, Mary, Psychically, I'm getting vibrations that you're validating, and I'm perceiving these as stress-oriented karmic situations. I think that clearing karma and getting into a whole different lifestyle of breathing and energy work probably is going to benefit you. And that may be why you're reluctant to go to the doctors, because medicine is not going to change the elements of your soul. And what you have are elements of the soul and the spirit that are confusing your physical, actual life right now. So your issues are soul-oriented. They're karmic conditions that your present body's manifesting and taking in. And that's, you see, now, how do you solve that on a radio show? You can't. You've got to go deeper into a deeper essence and analysis of that energy and get into it, and then have somebody that knows what they're doing learn how to clear that, help you clear that stuff out, because it's problematic. Because what will happen is if you don't do it correctly, it will just reinvent itself and erupt in another part of your body. So you got to get the chakras clear, the mind clear, the breathing right. All of that is so important. Then you got to get into diet and all kinds of things. So it's a complicated journey, but you know what? It's your journey. And I think that it's every minute you invest in your own journey, you're not wasting your time. This is for you, not somebody else. And in that regard, yeah. Now, as far as the fire ants go, it's funny because, you know, ants, we've been attacked by ants in our location too, Kristen and I. And I've talked to them and said, hey, you guys have got to leave.
Because Neil doesn't like to kill ants.
I won't kill an ant. If I see one, I mean, 10 o'clock at night in bed, if I see one falling on my arm, I go, oh, damn it.
And I got to go run
outside and throw them outside. So I won't even kill an ant. I wouldn't recommend that you go out and tell the ants to leave, the fire ants. They're going to, that's not going to work. It's a vibrational thing. As far as exterminating them or having somebody come out, I mean, that I would hate to recommend that, but that's one thing you can do. They have they're very territorial and they're very aggressive. They have intricate nests and underground systems, and you don't want to get in their way. They won't normally come in and attack you, and fire ants basically will stay outside. Have you found any in your home?
Rarely. Often. A little bit maybe after I tried the hot water method, and then their mound just moved over a couple of feet, and maybe they were getting a little, but yeah, they weren't,
Yeah, they're very smart ants, and they're very attuned to vibrations. But, that's another problem that just can't be answered over the phone.
Air.
Over the radio. But there is a way to put out energy that they won't like. See, if I had fire in my backyard, I would go out and put out such an energy source that they wouldn't like it. They would just simply move, because it would be like a silent vibration that would be disturbing to their energy field. And you can put out a silent scream type thing that they won't like. But you just can't go out and do it. That's a very highly developed element of how to send out a signal. I don't know, you should go online and see what online that some of the suggestions are for fire ants, but through communication it's possible.
Okay. Yay.
Okay.
So I guess I was just wondering if I would get healthy enough to meet that person in the UK, or if that kid was just totally off.
I think that's a bunch of hooey what that person is. If I had 10 cents, I wouldn't spend one penny on it. But I would say this, Mary, for you to be in a relationship, yes. Do I think you're going to be in a relationship? Yeah, I do. Maybe not until 43, but I think there's going to be a relationship coming. About the UK, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you'll meet somebody in the UK. But I don't know. I don't have enough details on what this person told you, this psychic friend or whoever they were. But I wouldn't right now count on that. I don't waste your time on that. But having a relationship, I predict one around 43.
Okie doke. That's good, because I don't want one now.
Oh, no. Well, perfect.
Yeah. Well, okie doke, that's Spanky in the R gang. That's one of my favorites.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Mary. And Mary just sent us a friend request, which I accepted on Facebook as we are sitting here. So thanks for that, Mary. Okay,
happy
take
holidays.
Care. You too. Happy holidays. And we have a caller from 402, and then we have 951. Okay, 402. Good morning.
Hi. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was born with that gift, but it has not. Too many other things have gotten in the way.
Oh, you mean in the animal communication? You cut out for a minute, so we didn't hear what you said exactly. But
yes, I was born with that animal communication gift, which I love, but I have been too blocked and torn up with other things to be able to trust it. And when it comes, it's just, you know, random. It's been a long time since I could talk to my cat or tell them to do things, but I've been able to do it with my grandson, so it's kind of cool.
Nah,
I have a question.
What's your
about
name?
My dog.
That's fine,
Sharon?
But what's your name, please?
Okay, Sharon. I've said it. I must be cutting out.
Yeah, you're cutting out. No, that's why we didn't hear it. I apologize, but you are cutting out. Are you on a cell?
Yes, and I've had trouble with it being hacked. So,
oh, no.
It has to be on speaker.
What's your birth date?
8/31/57.
Okay, 8/31/57. And your question is about your dog?
Yes. I have a dog I rescued a little over a year ago. And I've had neighbors that have come in and taken her and I believe drugged her at different times, and I'm wondering if you can pick up from her who's doing it.
Someone picked up your dog and drugged your dog?
Yes. Shaved her, tried to get her to bite and things, but she's very gentle spirit.
Very gentle spirit dog. Do you keep your, do you ever let your dog out in the morning or in the night when it would bark?
No, but they would take her in the middle of the night. They would break into my house and literally cut the cord I had her, even at a time, tied to my bed.
And then they would take your dog out of the house and bring her back?
Right.
Incidentally, is it a female dog?
Yes.
Well, you know, there's elements, Sharon, seriously, there's elements in aside from things just happening in your mind or you imagine it or something wrong with you or whatever that, there are elements in the astral realm where we have spirit forms.
Okay.
And I don't know if these are actual human beings that are breaking into your home, but your okay. dog may be under an astral attack from some entity from the other side. Has there been any in your life, has there been any experiments with anything in the occult, even a Ouija boards, tarot cards, anything in the family history where people were interested in the occult, anything like that?
Yes, and nothing consciously. But tarot cards, angel cards, I have used in the past. But
mm-hmm.
My son was murdered here in our home.
Mm-hmm.
And his dog, my previous dog, was poisoned.
Mm-hmm.
I have, my dog now does sense spirit. I mean, she'll start growling and barking, you know, but she's. But there have been, she has physically been taken as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I mean, there are entities from the other side that will capture energies. They even will capture a human soul during sleep and cause havoc. They can move things. There's all kinds of
Right.
Vibrations out there that are can be dark. The home you've lived, the home you're living in now, just tell me, have you been there 14 years or less?
Been here over 14 years. And I did have a priest come in and say a mass and bless the house. You know, I've had to do that a couple of times through the mm-hmm. years. Been here a long time, like 35 years.
Okay. And when did you have the priest come in? How long ago?
Oh, about a year or two, about a year after my son was killed.
Yeah. You know, Sharon, I have a feeling that your home is in, has some spirit entity invasion in it. And so
right.
What, you know, there's a way, I don't know the priest or whoever did this ritual and cleansed it. Sometimes that doesn't work that way. There's the vibration of an energy can create havoc and bring dark things into your locale. That doesn't, I mean, you've been there that long, so I wouldn't panic. You've been there a long time and your dog keeps returning in spirit, I mean, in body form. So it isn't anything you need to worry about, but you need to have a better sense of clearing of the house. And that doesn't mean you have to invest a lot of money and everything into it. You just have to find the right person that knows how to absorb these, identify and absorb these things and get them out of the energy. Let me ask you something. In your whole life, have you ever known anybody named Larry?
Yes. My uncle.
And who is he? Your uncle's Larry?
Yes.
He's what?
He's passed on.
Uh-huh. And what kind of relationship did you have with Larry?
A good one.
Okay, well, what I'm going to do, Sharon, is I'm going to put the better parts of angels and spirit forms in your home to help clear up the darkness in your home. And that
thank
might
you.
Be...
The problem is that I know that people that have broken into the house, you know, brought stuff with them. I even found out, I didn't know it, but I had a neighbor who brought a witch through my house, and I didn't know she was a witch, and I don't know what she did.
Yeah. You got some crazy stuff going on, Sharon, there. But it can be eliminated by clearing the energy of the home, and then it won't attract these dark sources. So what I'm going to do, the only thing I can do for you on the radio today is have angels move into your home, be in your home, bless your home, have maybe Uncle Larry, who's hanging around there, be of some protective essence for you. That's the best I can do for you on the radio right now. Maybe that will work, but keep us posted.
Okay, Sharon, thanks for your call. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, we have Nathaniel as our last caller, Neil.
Okay.
5157-2810-1. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good. What's going on?
Oh, not a whole bunch. Just kind of chilling here, getting ready for Christmas.
Oh, okay. 5157. So just a general... Okay.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Yeah,
huh?
General.
Just getting ready for Christmas. Well, you know what you got to do, Nathaniel? What I'm seeing is increase your diet with the color, with a lot of greens. Do you like greens? Are you prone to green vegetables?
I just got some last night at the store.
Ah, interesting.
Well, that's a good sign. Increase your diet with greens and vegetables. You need more greens and vegetables and chlorophyll and whatever else is in those. What's in green foods?
Vitamins,
spinach,
iron,
all that.
Yeah.
You need to increase that.
Chlorophyll, yes.
Chlorophyll, uh-huh.
Maybe you should do some spirulina. That's algae. Different kind of green, but...
Yeah.
That might be good.
Kristen cooks a lot. She, you know, we're vegetarians. And she cooks a lot of, you know, we just eat vegetarian food. We get a lot of these things that are like phony meat.
We do. Yeah, for protein, which I'm not too wild. I mean, there's too much soy. That's the worst part of it, I think. I'm not really fond of soy. But, yeah, it's good for protein because Neil doesn't eat nuts. I mean, he's kind of limited in his diet.
Yeah. But, you know, I would say for Christmas, I would say increase your greens, Nathaniel, and your vegetables. And that's what I would say to you right now as I'm picking up a vibe. I mean, we've done several readings on the
air.
Over the air. And today I'm just that's what I'm getting with you. There is, I will say something, though, about your energy. There seems to be a spirit form in the ground around your home where you're living.
Somebody's what now? Oh, if you think
there's
form. Yeah. Spirit in the house I'm living in?
Or on the ground somewhere in the front yard or backyard, yeah.
You know, that's kind of a question because the lady behind me that I believe she broke my window, she's always digging in the dirt, actually getting cat litter for her 20 or 30 cats that she has because she uses dirt for cat litter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's always digging in the ground, and I wonder, you know, if there's other cats, you know, I don't know, you know, because they eat cats and dogs and stuff.
Who eats cats and dogs?
Orientals.
Oh. Well,
Oriental, I have three and a guy over in.
Yeah, let's make it clear that.
Yeah, not all.
But, you know, so,
boy, we're going to get in trouble here.
But, you know, I don't know. I mean, she seems to be kind of eccentric as she has all these cats. I don't think she's eating them. But yeah, there's something weird about your environment that I'm picking up on. I wouldn't be too concerned about it. I mean, if I lived there and I picked up on this stuff, I wouldn't move or anything because I see spirits
but
all the time.
But he's looking to move anyway.
Well, if you're looking to move, that's different. But and someone's blasting their radio all the time. Do you get a disturbing radio or music anywhere in your environment?
You know, I do. I hear some things, but I've been turning up some jazz. I got some Bruce... or is it Brian Hughes, a jazz CD guitarist? And,
you've been playing it up?
I've been playing the jazz loud, but
okay.
You know,
well, you have a mild entity form living on the ground there. I mean, living on the grounds. It might have been someone who died there previously. Could be a trapped soul, but it's nothing to worry about. But, you know, we jump from vegetables to spirits, and I don't know. There's nothing real serious going on right now, so there's nothing to worry about, Nathaniel, but eat your vegetables.
Probably
okay.
Not what you're expecting to hear today, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Eat your vegetables.
I'll try to probably drink some of that green juice, you know, the green machine. Is that what you're recommending, Kristen? With the spirulina?
Yeah,
and
I think there's some stuff in there that would be good.
Maybe
I drink those sometimes. Wheatgrass.
You do wheatgrass? Yeah.
I haven't drank wheatgrass in a long time because it makes me nauseous, actually.
Yes,
it upsets my stomach.
It's really bitter if you could get just a couple ounces every once in a while. I don't know, but I used to drink it a lot. I used to buy flats and stuff of it, and I think you could drink too much of it, that's for sure. And
yeah.
I think if you blend it in with something else, it might be better too. You know.
I used to have a juicer, but it's such high maintenance to clean it.
It's
a pain.
It is. It
makes a huge mess.
I used to go to Mother's in Huntington Beach, and probably I don't know if you've ever heard of Mother's, but you're in Long Beach, but you probably have some other organic health food stores over that way.
You know, there's a place sometimes I get groceries from called Farm Box, and they have a juice company that's down in that area that they deliver from, and I've gotten some nice juices, some green ones from them that are pretty palatable. But no, I haven't heard of that one. I'll have to check it out.
Well, I'll keep the greens up on the Christmas tree this season, and thank you for your advice. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Don't eat your Christmas tree. Don't eat your Christmas tree, though.
I'll just choose
okay, Nathaniel.
Okay, bye-bye.
No, what were you saying? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I just said, I'll just juice it. But I was.
That's right. Juice it. Just juice it. No
yeah,
chewing. Just... Okay, well, take care. Happy holidays.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. All right. Okay, Neil, we are out of callers and pretty much out of time, so we'll wrap it up for today. But we are back on the air on Monday of next week.
Monday of next week.
That's
okay.
Right. All right, everyone, have a great weekend. Take care.